Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
When the bodies of Abby Williams and Libby German were found, they weren't miles from civilization, hidden some impossible-to-reach location. They were on a private property, a place with an owner, with a name, with a face, and a face belonged to Ron Logan. In any rational investigation, the fact alone would be enough to keep someone in the hot seat until every possible question was answered, and for a while it looked like that might actually happen. The FBI came in, wrote up an affidavit spelling out why Logan was the prime suspect. His alibi was fabricated. His phone pinged at the scene of the crime. His voice and build weren't inconsistent with Bridge Guy, seen in the infamous video. And there were whispers about his history. And there were facts about his history, too. Violence, inappropriate behavior. Things you don't just sweep aside in a double murder of two children. And somehow that's exactly what happened. The affidavit gets buried. The leads get cold. And Ron Logan, instead of being remembered as a central figure in this investigation, becomes almost a footnote. A name most jurors never even heard of by the time Richard Allen's trial rolled around. Why? Was it a small town blind spot protecting one of their own? Was it an investigative tunnel vision that just decided he never was the guy and never looked back? Or was there something deeper? A reluctance to put on a thread on a guy that might unveil connections no one wants to see exposed. Because here's what makes Logan's case so compelling. It's not just proximity. It's the combination of physical evidence, behavior, and timing that makes him hard to ignore. A made-up alibi before the bodies were even discovered? That's a little odd and alarming. Add in the violence, the questionable relationships, the bags dropped at the dump, and the fact that the FBI thought he was worth raiding, and you start to wonder how in the world this didn't make it into the courtroom. So, let's walk through it, shall we? What did the investigation have on Ron Logan? What did they choose to do with it? And how does his disappearance from the narrative affect the credibility of the case against Richard Allen? Because if you're building a story for the jury, you don't leave out a character like this by accident. Carol Hughes is joining me to discuss. Let's get into it. I'm curious. I just want to go over all these things in your mind as to you've consumed this documentary. You've heard what they've said. What are your thoughts on, let's talk the bullet.
I thought that was interesting. Now, because, you know, frequently in cases that have shootings, they find the bullet, they find that gun, and it does seem like there's evidence that bullet came from a gun that he owned. However, they do bring up that science is kind of not always 100%. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to know a little bit more about the science behind that. Did it definitively prove that was a bullet that came from a gun he owned?
Well, in the mind of Liggett and the folks, the investigators in Delphi, it's a science that has no questions to it. In the rest of the world, outside of Delphi, Indiana, it's a very dicey subject.
Okay.
It gets thrown out of court quite often. It can have a lot of errors to it. And here's the other interesting part about all of this. This bullet that suddenly became a big thing only saw its way to the light of day after they confiscated his gun. Now, keep in mind, this was a crime not committed with a gun. This was a crime of stabbing.
I thought that was interesting, too, because I'm like, if he had a gun with him, then why did he stab them?
So they confiscate his gun out of his house when they decide, oh, we're going to look after him. After that is when suddenly this bullet has these markings on it from an unspent bullet.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know, considering there's a lot in this case that seems to be ignored, planted, changed, or just made up, I don't think it's a bridge too far for someone to say, we threw the bullet in the gun, cycled it, and look, it has the markings. Look, it's always had these markings. It must be you. Can take a wild guess and say that's probably what happened.
Yeah.
That's my interpretation.
That didn't seem to me to be that concrete.
I'd love to see a picture of this bullet prior to them confiscating his weapon. It doesn't exist.
Interesting.
It does not exist. And this has supposedly been in your evidence for how long? And somehow this matches up. We had to get the angle just right. Okay. Again, not a very exact science, and also very common bullet. Very common gun, and you're in Indiana. It's gun country. There's a lot of people. If you're going to go through, you better be running and checking every single bullet from every single person who has that type of make of a gun in the area to see how those markings line up as well. You know?
Yeah.
So, again, it's a two-thought process. Then you have the bridge guy video. That's another big aspect to this case.
I don't see how you could say that video and the still that they pulled from it. You can't identify anything about that person. That could be 10,000 different men.
Could it?
It could be a lot of different men because you don't really see the face. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of guys of similar builds. It could have been, and we'll get into the other suspects, I'm assuming, mm-hmm. but, it could have been a guy that doesn't even live there at all, that's going through town, and he lives in Colorado for all, mm-hmm. who knows. They would never figure out just from that picture who that person is. And the audio as well was not clear enough to say, this is definitely Richard.
Well,
I don't see how they made that leap because I didn't hear any distinguishable.
And here's the other fun part about that video, where on the surface it is what it is. But when you look just a little bit deeper, you discover some other fun facts about that video. The original video was released as like a 4-second piece. And they edited it. They moved the sound. They moved the part. They literally changed the part where the guy says down the hill and pasted it to the area where you see the guy on camera for that split second. That is not where the audio drops. He's not saying it. He's not saying it from way down the bridge going down the hill, girls. When you actually watch the real video, the full video that's now been released, the girls are sitting there talking about where the trail goes. Where do we go from here? How do we get down the hill? Things of that nature. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but they were essentially at that moment in time trying to figure out how to get down the hill to another area. This guy passes by. He says, down the hill. I think if I was passing by two children that were trying to figure out where to go on the trail, and that's where they were trying to figure out how to get to, I would probably say the same thing, being a helpful human being. It's not an ominous statement. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in that that says, go down the hill, follow me down the hill. It's not that. But it's been molded to feel like that if you're taking it out of context, literally editing the video, moving the sound around to places where it's not truly at, then you get a much more ominous feel to this.
Right.
And the guy is not really the height, really the make, really the look at all of Richard Allen. I want to show you a video or an image here. I was trying to find it. I had on my bridge guy, and because there's some interesting things out there about who bridge guy might be. And it certainly doesn't seem to be Richard Allen. It seems to be much more looking like Ron Logan, who was one of the alternate suspects.
That guy seems extremely suspicious.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in just a moment. I want to find, I have a comparison shot here that I want to bring up so you can see it on the screen if you're watching us. I'll continue to look for it here, but I will find it. But if you just do a Google of Ron Logan and Bridge Guy, you'll find it. It's shockingly, it's like when he went to do a television interview, he basically put on the same outfit as Bridge Guy. And then you compare the two, it's like, oh, well, that's Bridge Guy. But at the end of the day here too, there's nothing that really ties Bridge Guy to the murders other than he happens to be the last person that was caught on video on the phone of one of the victims.
And I get why that's suspicious. I totally get that. Like, because they ended up murdered. And look, there is a man by himself very in close proximity to these girls.
But why does that automatically mean that that guy killed those kids?
Right, exactly. He might not have had anything at all to do with it.
Those are the dots that do not make any sense to me. Now, here's a graphic. I'm showing it on screen right now. If you're watching us on YouTube, if you're not and you want to watch us on YouTube, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. What we're seeing here, this is Ron Logan. He's dead, by the way. This is Bridge Guy over here in that shot. That's Bridge Guy in that shot. This is Ron Logan. Let me move the mic out of the way. That's Ron Logan right there.
Yeah, definitely looks a very similar build. And it's hard to tell height, but
it is same gait, same walk. A woman who dated Ron Logan for several years or several, I don't know for years, but for a time being, watched that video and said, that's Ron. It's the guy I dated. It's the guy I broke up with because there was a little girl down the road that wanted to buy a horse from him, and he got a little too handsy, and she felt that to be a bit uncomfortable. And, oh, yeah, Ron Logan smashed her over the head with a wrench.
Oh, my God.
So a little history of violence there. Little history there. Little tight thing. I've also heard from many others in Delphi, Indiana, trying to think of how to phrase this. Ron was connected. Ron was kind of a party guy, allegedly. There's allegations out there that Ron was the one who was buying liquor for a lot of the kids back in the day. I'm not saying these little kids. Oh. I'm saying years ago.
He's been known to have done
folks,
that.
Folks that might have a reason to think fondly of old Ron Logan, the guy who kind of did stuff for, you know, kind of off the record. Yeah, we'll do this. Do it my way. Ron Logan also, by the way, So there could be an affinity, I would say, for folks, of a certain age, 30s, 40s, I don't know, might be trying the case, that there might be a bit of a relation or a connection there to not maybe put all effort towards looking into Ron Logan, because how could it be that guy? Mm-hmm. It couldn't be. He's the guy who did this for us. He's the guy who was, he was party guy. He was a friendly dude. He's older now. There's no way. No way. In a small town, no way. This can't happen. And there might have been some of that at play with Ron Logan as well.
Could have been.
Another big key part of Ron Logan's story in all of this is Ron Logan made up a fake alibi. Made up a fake alibi of where he was at the times of the murders. Now, it was trying to be pawned off in the video or in the documentary by slick back, I put too much LA gear in my hair prosecutor.
Yeah, that hair.
McClelland. It's like, how much product do you put in your hair? I mean, what is that look? Why is it that attorneys, and I don't get that. I do not understand, and I'm friends with a lot of attorneys, but I do not get where it's like, let's put shitloads of product in our hair and slick it back. I think that's going to invoke trust. I don't know where that comes from. Do you know?
I don't either.
But Nicholas McClelland, slick back hair, what's left of it. He was trying to explain it. Well, he lied to us because he went to the dump and he didn't have a license. Okay, he went to the dump. Number one, he's dropping off bags in the dump that we don't know what are in them.
Exactly, what was in the bags?
Like, number one, that's questionable. And he's not legal to drive. But you're just looking at the surface going, oh, he's making it up because he's gonna be in trouble for not having the license. Is that it? Is that all there is? Is that why he told his friend to lie and say that they went to another town to buy fish at the pet store?
I thought that was interesting because I'm like, he blatantly lied, but it's just because he didn't have a valid driver's license.
It has nothing to do with the fact that two girls are dead on your property at that moment in time, and no one knows about it yet. There is no reason you need to make up an alibi or tell anyone you have an alibi at that moment in time because nobody's looking into you because nobody knows those girls are dead on your property. He didn't make it up when they started looking. He made it up before anybody found the damn bodies.
Yeah, true.
So there's that.
And then wasn't there his phone pinged?
Oh, yeah. And there's that.
Right. And they dismissed that.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot
of
things.
I'm like, okay, he lied and he was in the area. Yeah. He lied about being in the area at the time.
Yeah. So
that's highly suspicious. But instead, they brush him off and they say, oh, well, he doesn't have a driver's license. I mean,
that's what it was.
Would you want to get caught?
History of violence. Accusations from people who know him well of being a little too, having a bit too much of an affinity for young children, girls. And he makes up a fake alibi before.
And his girlfriend says
that he beats her. And he goes to prison for that, for beating his girlfriend with the wrench and for not having the license. That's eventually what he goes to for the license. This is the guy. This is a guy that there's no reputable leads over here. The FBI thinks it's him. The FBI goes in and raids his property. They do a full investigation. And then they hand it on a silver platter to the Delphi authorities. And what does Delphi do with it? They say, you know what? We're going to handle this on our own. We don't need you anymore, FBI. Bye-bye. Because you may not know this, the FBI is only there because they're requested to be there. They are there at the asking of the local jurisdiction. The local jurisdiction has the power to kick the FBI out, not the other way around. And the local jurisdiction kicked the FBI out of the investigation.
And in a town that size, they don't really have the skill set. Not saying that there aren't some good investigators on their.
There aren't. There were no good investigators. The guy who investigated.
Maybe they are. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, but they don't
investigate. It was his first investigation. The first.
This is a double murder of girls.
Yeah.
They needed someone with experience. And, you know, and even at the crime scene, they didn't preserve the crime scene the way they should have. So they didn't do the whole investigation the way a more skilled force would have done.
No, they screwed it up.
Let's just say the FBI.
They screwed the whole thing up. And probably by their sloppy actions that are a result of inexperience because it's a small town. It just is what it is. But because of that, they bungled the thing so bad that it was probably very, very difficult to solve this. Mm-hmm. Or there were people involved that they didn't want to expose because those people might have other people to expose. And there seems to be some of that going on around these parts, allegedly. So there's all of that. There is no DNA on the scene of Richard Allen. There's nothing. I mean, if you stat, and again, the timeline of Richard Allen being there too. These girls were undressed. One was naked. The other had the other's clothes on. Their bodies had been moved and cleaned. So you're assuming that all of this would have been done on the trailhead in a very short amount of time by Richard Allen, who was out for a walk, and he works at the CVS.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you do have plenty of resources to clean up these kids and move them around and bodies and all of that at the property where they were found of Ron Logan.
Yeah.
But we don't know what happened there because that investigation started really late. And then the findings have never been released. So there's a lot.
One thing I did think of while I was watching it, because I found the Ron Logan possibility being, there was a lot of evidence, I thought.
Yeah.
And had they investigated that to the fullest extent, they might have, or allowed someone in to help them.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ron Logan dies, they want someone to pay for this crime.
Yeah.
And so at that point, Ron Logan can't pay, so we got to find somebody else.
It's the villagers with pitchforks. We got to find somebody here to blame this on. Mm-hmm. And I get it. If you are the family and these are your kids, you want someone to pay without
absolutely.
A doubt. But at the same point, not at the expense of destroying more families. And I'm sorry, I feel horrible for these victims' families, but y'all got to wake up at some point and go, you got the wrong guy. I know it's like, we don't want to disturb them. They're, you know, they've already been through. You're right. They have, but just blindly putting your faith in the people at Delphi, you're putting your faith in, you know, L.A. gear man with the slicked back hair. Do you really trust that? And when you look at all of the evidence as a whole, as much as you like to put this to bed and move on with your life, and I'm sorry, you've helped to destroy another life.
And Richard Allen. Think that, because it's such a small town, everyone's going to know who's on the jury.
Yeah.
Which I think is a whole nother thing. So everybody knows if you were on that jury, I don't know that they could have properly found people who had a bias.
Yeah.
But then, do you want to be the jurist who is like, no, I'm not going with this at all? Then what happens to you in your small town?
I'd also like to make note all of these things that we've talked about so far, and your mind's going to continue to be blown if you're not familiar with this case. All of those things that we've discussed, the Ron Logan, all the things in his property, all of the accusations, all the things he's been convicted on, it should be put into the case. If a jury's going to hear this, wouldn't you think as like, well, this is an alternative suspect, he's dead, but it does introduce some reasonable doubt.
Correct. Yes.
The jury didn't hear any of it. None of it made it to trial. The jury doesn't know Ron Logan exists.
Maybe now they do after watching the documentary.
After watching it, they do. But when it mattered, when this trial was happening, when they had to consider this, the judge, we're not talking about any alternative suspects, no matter how valid they are. And do you get much more valid than it happened on the guy's property? He looks like bridge guy. He made up an alibi. Can you, Carol, can you get anyone more obvious a potential suspect than that?
Right.
You can. You actually can. It's a fake question. You can. You can get crazier than that. Because lo and behold, there's another suspect. And this one was into kitty porn.
That guy.
This one had been grooming and talking to Liberty German online for quite some time under the name Anthony Schatz. If you're keeping score, Ron Logan's profile doesn't just raise eyebrows. It sets off alarm bells. The property owner where the girls were found, a fake alibi created before anyone knew they were dead, a history of violence, creepy behavior towards younger girls, and enough local connections to make some folks hesitant to look too hard. Now, in a vacuum, you might be able to rationalize away one or two of those points, but all of them together, that's not a coincidence. That's a flashing neon sign, and yet the jury in Richard Allen's case never got to see it. They didn't hear about the FBI raid. They didn't hear about the fabricated story or the dump trip with bags, no one inspected. They didn't get to compare Bridge Guy side by side with Ron Logan to see why so many locals saw him in as being Bridge Guy immediately. And this is where it gets dangerous. When you cut a figure like Ron Logan out of the story entirely, you're not just shaping the narrative. You're removing the most obvious source of reasonable doubt. And once that doubt is gone, what's left? A handful of contested evidence against a man who willingly approached police to help them. If Richard Allen's trial has been about the full picture, Logan included, would the verdict have been different? Well, we'll never know. But it's hard to argue that omitting him made the case more fair. It didn't. It made it easier to convict Allen without having to explain why someone with a far stronger profile wasn't sitting in the defendant's chair. Oh yeah, he was dead. They never went after him when they had the chance. And that's the part that should stick with you. In the court of public opinion, the Ron Logans of the world often fade into the background when they're no longer convenient to the story. But in a courtroom, their absence can tilt the whole playing field. Which brings us to another name that never saw the inside of a jury box. One that takes us from physical proximity to digital grooming, from suspicious behavior to direct online contact with one of the victims. If Ron Logan is the glaring omission in the physical world, Keegan Klein is a counterpart in the digital one. And we're about to get into that in part three. Who is Keegan Klein? What is the Anthony Schatz persona online, and why someone messaging a victim about meeting at the bridge the very day she died wasn't front and center at the trial? That's coming up. Press subscribe so you don't miss that part of the conversation. Whether you're on YouTube or downloading us on any podcast platform, hit subscribe. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to do that, and also find us on YouTube so you can comment on this case as well. It's insane. And it deserves your attention, and it deserves your voice, because nothing's going to happen. A man will rot in prison for the rest of his life for a crime he did not commit. Unless they hear you, because that's about the only hope this man has right now. Public outrage. Let your voice be heard. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.